In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please sit. The sermon title is Stiff Necks Are Uncomfortable. The sermon text is from Exodus 32, verse 14. And the Lord changed his mind. Message translation, and the Lord thought twice about it. Our text confronts us with an image of God that is perhaps not too common or acceptable or even palatable. In personal, familial, community, and political life, we are at best sensitive, at worst alarmed by those who change their minds. Those who think twice about a commitment they made in the past or some irrevocable decision. Though, to quote one wit, if you can't change your mind, are you sure you have one? We heard today that St. Paul changes his mind, thank God. His unalterable dedication to Judaism and persecution of Christianity is exchanged for dedication to the very Jesus whom he persecuted. Even though, to quote Timothy, he was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, a man of violence, he changed his mind. We heard today in Luke 15, the authentic good shepherd deserts his 99 sheep in search of the one errant sheep. The dutiful housekeeper forsakes her duties in search of one missing coin. So they change their minds. Their responsibilities are altered. And indeed, they think twice about the primary task that is before them. Friends, there are at least 19 verses when Holy Scripture confronts us with the God who changes his mind, who thinks twice about a decision. And then I recall at least two instances when the gospel writers tell us that Jesus changed his mind. Just one, for instance, John 11. Jesus is planning, has committed himself to visiting Lazarus. He then hears that Lazarus has died. What does he do? He changes his mind. And he says, I will stay, I think, a few more days here before I leave. So what does our eloquent, though cryptic, text say about God? Theology. And what does it say about us? Anthropology. About God. Theology. It would seem that the Bible is presenting to us a God who is in process of becoming, in process of loving, in process of judgment. In Jonah chapter 3, the prophet pledges himself to a scary, dangerous, and awful task in the hope, he says, that God will relent, that God will change his mind. Too often, too much, too painfully, there are too many who imagine that God has reached an irrevocable, immutable stance toward them that will never be altered. I am a sinner. How can God ever see me differently? But they are wrong, definitively, categorically wrong. God changes his mind toward us. The story is told often of a man kneeling on a sidewalk by a street lamp. A passerby asks him, can I help you? Yes, please, I've lost my wallet. Oh, did you lose it here? No, but this is where the light is. We often think that God is like that. The problems we have to be where he is before he can help us. And yet God says to us, no, wherever you are, I can change direction. I can be with you. I can stand and with you and help you. God participates in our conflicts and our struggles, in our emotional scuffles and psychic skirmishes. And about us, anthropology. In the abyss of insecurity, we are often tempted to define ourselves by irreversible decisions and unalterable judgments. Everything around me is shaking, is in turmoil, but I will hold to this one decision. And so Herod, idiot, promises to the temptress Salome anything she wants. What does she want? She wants the head of John the Baptist. What should he say? Oh, I made a mistake. I want to change my mind. But no, he can't do that. And so poor John loses his head, literally. And then Jephthah in the Old Testament, Hebrew scripture. He is so grateful for what God has done for him. He says, when I get home, whoever enters my threshold first, I will sacrifice. His daughter enters the threshold first. What does he say? Lord, I made a mistake. It was rash. It was intended well. No, he keeps to the promise. And his daughter is sacrificed. The God we worship opens to us day by day the path of reflection and the possibility of change of mind. The person that we once thought insufferable, we discover is beset with unimaginable trauma. To understand is to forgive. The one we dismissed as toxic is beset with demons too awful for words and beyond our own imaginations. To mind change in order to bring glory to God, to offer compassion to others, is an authentic and commendable act. God participates in our conflicts, our struggles, our emotional scuffles and psychic skirmishes. Today, 15 years ago, the most wretched, awful, tragic event occurred. And from September 11, 2001, we have been forced, if we are wise, to change our minds, to think twice about security and the fragility of our human life. All that we most hold dear is now subject to honest revision, to sober reassessment, and to do so is reasonable and it is divine. In our presidential campaign, it is imperative that you and I commit to a candidate that is both ready to be resolute but also to be responsive to contemporary truth, ready to acknowledge a readiness to change mind and direction, not based on convenient popularity, but on the admission of fault and acceptance of responsibility. I so need to hear, I was wrong. I was misinformed. And I am sorry. This is the stuff, the substance of godly, divine nature. This past week, to my pain, I have been talking with a bride I married some years ago. Sarah is still resolutely committed to her vows. She is unequivocally in love with her husband. And yet things in their relationship have changed substantially. And I have to help her, dear thing, to accept it may be right to change her mind and to think twice. God participates in our conflicts, in our struggles, in our emotional scuffles and psychic skirmishes. God will give you and me courage and wisdom to know when to change our minds. God help us. Amen.